guide and bless the President of the United States, the Governor, the Mayor, and all others who serve in government.
Have mercy upon us.
We pray that you would teach us how to truly repent and change our lives, forgiving us of our sins and granting us the gift of your Holy Spirit.
Have mercy upon us.
We pray that you would bless our enemies and give us the courage to forgive them.
Have mercy upon us.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world.
Grant us thy peace.
O Christ, hear us.
O Christ, hear us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which is you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites, and the aliens who reside among you shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. The word of the Lord. The psalm will be read in unison, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say to the Lord, "You are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil happen to you, neither shall my plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. You shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet. Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation."
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I am going to talk to you this morning about something that is very difficult. It is a thing that Episcopalians do not like to talk about. I'm going to talk to you about the devil. When we speak of the devil today, many people think that we're sounding medieval. We think of a caricature. But there is no denying that there is a presence in all of the Bible. You could call it Satan, or the ancient Greek translation of the word devil, which is the tempter, the adversary. But whatever you call it, in all of Holy Scripture, There is humanity, there is God, and there is something else as well. From the very beginning in the book of Genesis, when that snake says to Eve, introduces into her mind the idea that she might disobey God. Don't you want to taste the fruit? Wouldn't it be great? From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, we hear of this constant struggle and battle between goodness and evil, between light and darkness. And the reality that is that this battle goes on in every single one of our lives. So I'm going to tell you the truth, at least what I have come to understand and believe about the devil. You see, in today's scripture, on this, the first Sunday of Lent, Jesus has just been baptized and he's ready to launch his ministry. More than any other person in human history, Jesus had a lot of work to do. Important stuff to do. People needed healing. People were hungry for the word of God. People were desperate to touch him, to listen to him, to be with him. More than anyone else, Jesus had a lot of important and good work to do. You would think he would have wanted to get started. But instead of getting busy, instead of going to work, instead of launching his ministry, Jesus walks out into the desert alone and does nothing. He sits still. And he prays. And he fasts because he wants to spend time alone with God. And he considers that more important than getting anything else done. But when Jesus goes out to spend time alone with God, someone else is there. Just like every time that you sit down to spend time alone with God, inevitably, that someone else will show up. It says in the scripture that Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days. If you read it carefully, he was tempted the entire 40 days. I think a lot of us like to think that the devil showed up right at the end. I think it's easier to think about it that way. But it's clear from the text that the devil was there every day. Every single day. Just as the devil is present in our lives every single day. So if it's true, if there is this devil, this tempter, this adversary, and even at the 9 o'clock service, I found myself not wanting to say the word devil. I like tempter better. If the devil exists, then how do we know? How do we identify temptation itself? Temptation exists inside your mind. The devil's work is in here. So if you want to get to know the evil one, You must begin to listen to your own mind. I was reading in the paper that 2 weeks ago in New Zealand, there was a woman named Natasha Hamilton who died at age 31. And when the coroner examined her body, they said that she had died of the most bizarre reason I have almost ever heard. Natasha Hamilton died from drinking too much Coca-Cola. This young woman drank over 2 gallons of Coca-Cola every day. Over 2 gallons. She continued to drink even though her teeth started turning yellow and falling out of her mouth. And she still kept on drinking. She continued to drink when her body started shaking violently, when she would get irritable and scream at her children because she needed a Coke. She kept on drinking. And the coroner said that the excess of sugar and caffeine overwhelmed her heart. Well, who knows? Certainly Coca-Cola disagrees with that diagnosis. But whatever happened, however she died, my question for you is this. What was she thinking? How can a rational human being drink over 2 gallons of crud, forgive me, Coca-Cola, every single day, when your teeth are falling out, when your body is falling apart? What in the world kind of mental gymnastics could she have done to justify that habit? What was happening inside of her head? If you want to identify the devil's work in your own mind, I can give you some really good clues. You see, half the battle with the devil is simply in identifying who it is. Once you understand that you're being tempted, it's much easier to say no. More than half of the battle is simply recognizing the work of the devil, recognizing temptation itself. So let me tell you a few clues. First of all, when Jesus is tempted in the desert, the devil always is focusing on Jesus himself. When he's really hungry, the devil says, "Oh, fix yourself some bread. You can do it. You deserve it." Clue number one. Temptation will always be centered around yourself. Your own ego. Me, 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 me. The devil wants you to think about yourself and only yourself all the time. It could be how great you are, or it could be how awful you are. It could be how you're doing at this. It could be how you're feeling. But the point is that you spend all your time centered on yourself, self, 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 self. When we pray for other people, I think the devil has no idea what to do with that. When we give to other people in a way that doesn't benefit us, completely foreign, totally of God. So if you find yourself absorbed with your own self constantly, if you're constantly worried or obsessed about yourself, you should say, "Oh, that sounds like temptation." Clue number two. The devil does not have one original thought. Temptation repeats itself over and over and over again. You'll hear temptation and begin to recognize it. It's often like a broken record. Whereas God, thoughts that are of God will be new, original, creative, different. Temptation is always the same. So if you find yourself having the same thought over and over and over again, and it's bugging you, it's probably temptation. In fact, I bet that each and every one of you could think of at least one phrase that you repeat to yourself from time to time. Ladies, what about, "I'm fat"? I bet that there's something you could come up with that you repeat to yourself over and over and over again. And if you're repeating something like a broken record, you can be assured that it's the work of the devil. Clue number three. The devil doesn't want you to be alone with God. Temptation will always tell you that you have other things that are more important to do. When you sit down to pray, inevitably, your mind is going to tell you that you need to get up. You've got to do that laundry. You've got to do this around the house. You've got to do that. Your job isn't good enough. You have emails to return. Temptation wants you busy, all the time busy. Because when you're busy, you're not listening. I was reading in a scientific magazine, if you take a pot of water and you put a frog in it, and you start to heat the water, but you do it very gradually, the frog will not jump out. Because the increase of temperature is so gradual that the frog doesn't really realize that its environment is becoming toxic. It'll even get to the boiling point and the frog will die, but it won't jump out. Because it's not aware that its surroundings have become toxic and even deadly. If you stay busy all the time, then you may not think about the fact that you haven't really spent quality time with your loved ones, that you may not have been really present with them, and you might not think about the fact that you've been at work so much that you haven't really talked to them, and you might not think about the snide comment that you made here or the gossip that you made over there, because you're so consumed with all the things you have to do, and you may not realize that you're really not very happy in your life and that things are getting out of control. You might not recognize that your life is becoming toxic because you're never taking time to listen. Temptation wants you busy, busy, busy all the time. Never reflecting on the meaning of your life. Never evaluating what you're doing is feeding your soul. But always rushing. Rushing. From one thing to the next. The final clue. The devil, temptation. It does not love. So if you're listening to the thoughts in your own mind, and you find that those thoughts are very critical of your own self or of others, if you find yourself beating yourself up, know that it is not of God. That is definitely the work of temptation itself. It takes courage to pray Because every time we pray, what we're doing is engaging in a struggle. A struggle inside of our own minds, in which we try desperately to hear God, but we also hear all this distraction, all this temptation, all this self-criticism. And it may be that sitting still is too hard for you. So move your body, walk, bicycle, swim. But give yourself a sacred time in your day when your mind is free. Free to do nothing else but listen. Listen. For the only way to truly come to know God is to learn to say no to temptation. It's really very simple what Jesus does. He simply says, no. But you cannot say no if you do not know that you're being tempted. So I encourage you this Lent. Find your desert, your quiet place, that place where you can listen to your mind and then begin to differentiate between thoughts that are of the devil that distract you from God and thoughts that bring you closer to God. Begin to distinguish between self-criticism and love. Between that which repeats itself and that which is new. Give yourself the time to hear God's work in your life. I know it's a battle, but it's worth it. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being, the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the cathedral. It's so good to see you today. We're so glad you're here with us. If you're new or visiting, we have a newcomer card in your pew, and you can fill it out, and we will send you our e-newsletter, and that's a good way of sort of figuring out what's going on here. We're so glad you're here today. During these 40 days, Christians tend to give up something, which helps us identify temptation, right? Like I gave up coffee, and this morning, guess what? I thought, you know, Sunday is not really included in the 40 days. I didn't pick it up. We also offer a lot of extra classes and prayer offerings during this season. This afternoon, we have a 5 o'clock Lenten Evensong, which our choir sings, and it is just beautiful. So if you'd like to come and listen to that. Lenten worship services of morning prayer take place at 7 o'clock every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday in Cummings Chapel. The Duval Street doors are and the kitchen doors will both be open. These are led by Jay Wright, if you would like to join us in the morning. On Wednesdays during Lent, we are going to be offering two new classes. Living Prayerfully, which I will teach with the clergy, is looking at different kinds of prayer and how you pray. And then a wonderful new course, Live Your Purpose, Change Your World, is a class for anyone who wishes to explore how they can serve in ministry. More details about these classes and when they're offered is found in your bulletin. Also on Sundays, we're offering a class on pilgrimage taught by Father Perry and Dr. Scott Brown from UNF. And Judge and Marcia Choflat are leading a book study at 9 o'clock on The Last Week by Marcus Borg. If you'd like to read a Lenten meditation every day, those will come to you on your email, or you can also pick up a book. We have a Lenten Meditations book written by members of the parish and staff, which are available in the back of the church this morning. So please pick one up. I'm going to be leading a special Lenten retreat for women at Camp Weed. It is called Strength and Shame, Mary Magdalene and the Life of Christian Women. So if you'd like to come and join me for that, just check out our website or call the church. The church office will be closed tomorrow for President's Day. And lastly, this Sunday, every year, we remember and make donations to Episcopal Relief and Development, which is a global network that works to relieve poverty all over the world. If you'd like to make a donation, you can make a check out to the church and put ERD in the memo section. And last but not least, we have a funeral this afternoon at 12:30. For our beloved Connie Mullis. How many of you knew Connie Mullis? A lot of you. She was a member here for over 70 years and a very beloved, beautiful woman. Her service will be here at 12:30. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right that we should give thanks to you, O Lord, Almighty Father and everlasting God, at all times and in all places. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, we praise you and magnify your holy name with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven as we sing. Heaven and earth, and made us in your own image. And in your tender mercy, you gave us your only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, with these your holy gifts, we now celebrate the memorial of your Son, remembering his death and resurrection as we await his coming again with great power and glory. Merciful Father, we ask you to bless and sanctify these gifts of bread and wine with your Holy Spirit, that they may be to us the body and blood of your dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, O Lord, as we offer ourselves to you. Grant that all who partake of this holy communion may receive the most precious body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and be filled with your grace. May we be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him
and he in us. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord.